me. Brother Lou's going to get baptized by fire here tonight. Following me. I'll try. I usually stick to my notes pretty good, Brother Lou. But you just never know. Don't always know where I'm going to take my key verse from, because they're all key. Numbers chapter 25 and verse 13. Actually, we'll go to verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 and 13 as our passage this evening. It says this: "Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it." How many would like to have a covenant of peace? "And his seed after him." How many would like it passed on to your kids? It's not just me that gets it, it's passed to my kids. And their kids, and their kids. "Even the covenant," how would you like this one? "Of an everlasting priesthood." That means it's not going to stop, it's going to continue. I want you to see where this is found. "Because he was zealous for his God." Now, I understand tonight that there's a lot of zealous people right about now. Zealous, I don't know if it's right about now, but it's probably getting close. They're already zealous. Matter of fact, some of them don't even know where they're at right now. They've already been too zealous. They won't even remember what happened. There's a lot of people zealous for a lot of things. I just had to throw that in there. It just happens to be. You know what? I'm really impressed with the size of crowd we have tonight, considering what it is. I thank you all for being here. That really tells me something. You know that? I'm serious. I'm not making a joke there. I'm serious. Thank you. "He was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel." I'm going to hopefully make it worth your while tonight, because I have a message burning in me. I've got so many right now that it seemed to just be going through me. But I want to preach this: the point of no return. The point of no return. Jesus, you know, Lord, what you want me to say here tonight. Lord, I know what I feel in my spirit. I know what I feel in my heart. God, I know what you have been speaking to me about and what you've been talking with me. God, I know, Lord, what you, God, are trying to do with us and through us and in us. And Lord, I know, Lord, there are some very special things, Lord, that you're wanting to do in individuals, in each one of us, Lord, that there is a purpose for all of us, Lord. And God, every single one of us have something that you want to do very special through us. But God, I pray, Lord, that we'd allow this message tonight to sink into our spirit, Lord, that someone tonight would see what is said on the page of the scriptures. And Lord, I pray that they would make a decision tonight to cross over into a place of no return. Bless this message tonight, Lord. I pray that your word would go forth with fervor, with passion, with zeal. God, I pray, Lord, that it would not land on deaf ears, but that your word would grow and become what you've intended it to be. Give me anointing. Allow your anointing to be on me, and allow me to preach the way I feel it in my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Joey and Jared, pay close attention. What in the world are you doing? Get that thing out of your mouth. Sorry, I had to be a parent. You guys need to pay very close attention to what I'm getting ready to say tonight. Because this message, if you will listen to it, will make you what God wants you to be. The point of no, the rest of you can listen to it too. The point of no return. Is there anyone here tonight who wants to go to that point? Might want to wait before you answer. The point of no return. In the early 1400s, there was a belief, and you're all very familiar with this. It was really the belief that was right prior to and after this launched the age of exploration. There was a belief that the world was flat. And while the Europeans were sending explorers around the tip of Africa and on to Asia, there was the fear that if you sailed too far to the west, you would just sort of drop off the face of the earth. That there was a point, there was a place where the earth would end. And if you sailed too far, you would just drop off. And while they would sail, they were afraid of sailing. They would sail south and they would sail west. But there was this one man who we have all learned about in our schools who said, I believe that the world is, and I can get to Asia by going to the west. And though he never made it to Asia, and though he really did not, he was not really the one who discovered the New World, because many millions of people had already lived there, he did do something that was very significant. He crossed the line of no return. And his journeys marked the beginning of centuries of transatlantic conquest and colonization. And while Christopher Columbus never made it rich, and he never even made it to Asia, his accomplishment was this, that the world after him was never the same. I want you to hear that statement, that the world after him was never the same. Never again would the world be able to return to what it was before. Never again could they say that the world was flat. Never again could they say that you can't keep sailing. Never again would they ever be able to say that it's not possible. The line had been crossed. In the book of Numbers, the children of Israel were in their years of wandering. And although God had done many miracles for them, they still seemed to murmur and complain. You know how the story goes. They would follow God and then they would pick up their dumb idols. I like the way the scriptures calls them that. They were simply dumb idols. They would live for God and then they would grow cold and complacent. And it was here During one of those cold times, one of those complacent times, and one of those times that they were going after other gods, that the children of Israel began to go after the god Baal Peor. This was the god of the Moabites, and most likely was the god Chemosh. It was with the worship of this god that brought Israel to immorality and to sin. And while they committed these sins, God sent a plague that killed 24,000 people. It was during this time that God said, I am not pleased. I don't like this. I'm a very jealous God. I don't like the fact that you're chasing after another God. I don't like the fact that you're turning yourselves into immorality and you're giving yourselves to these idols and you're allowing these other things to come in the place of me. And the Bible says this in Numbers chapter 25 and verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. There was a group of people who were weeping, who were crying. When you have 24,000 people dying before you, you yourself would be weeping. You yourself would be crying. And in the midst of this, while people are weeping and people are crying, a man goes off and finds him a Midianitish woman, and he marries her and brings her back into this place where Israel was, and he takes her into his tent. You may say right now, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal here? I'm getting ready to tell you, it was not just a simple marriage. Let me just tell you this right now. This was more than just a marriage. Can I tell you what this was? This was the mixing, somebody hear me tonight, of that which was holy to that which was carnal. This was the mixing of that which was the chosen to that which was not. This was trying to live spiritual while also trying to live carnal. This was being one thing in the house of God and another thing at home. This was a form of godliness while denying the power thereof. This was not just some simple marriage ceremony. This was the mixing of that which was God's to that which was the world. This was the mixing of the spiritual and the carnal. And in that moment, there was a priest who saw this, and he saw what happened. How could this happen in the midst of a plague that is already devouring the lives of men and women? Think about this for a moment. How could this take place? I mean, they have their brothers dying, their sisters dying, their fathers dying, their mothers dying, their kids dying. The plague is killing one after another. And yet some man has the audacity to go out and mix with that which he's not supposed to be with, and join with that which he knows isn't right, and play around with that which he understands and knows this isn't the way I need to be living. This isn't the way I need to be walking. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. While this one's dying, and that one's dying, and this one's falling off, and that one's passing away, and this man has the how could he do this? How could someone do this while their brothers and sisters were dying? I'll tell you how, the same way we do. That might have been too short. I didn't spread that out long enough. I'll tell you how he did it, the same way we do. I'm here to tell you that there's a plague of sin that's affecting millions and millions and millions of people. And we wonder why God's not doing more. And we wonder why this ain't happening and that ain't happening and this ain't happening. I'll tell you exactly why it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because too often we're trying to mix that which is spiritual to that which is carnal. We're trying to mix that which is holy to that which is not. How did it happen? The same way it's happening today. It's the same things that are taking place today. It's the same thing that the church. Oh, I'm not singling us out. It's the church. But the Bible tells us that there was one man, there was a priest, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, who said, wait a minute, you might be able to think you can get away with that, but not on my watch. Hear me right now. I'm not talking about attacking people. I don't want anybody to leave this place, and I don't want you to go out there and find somebody that you see doing wrong, go slug them. I don't want you, if you see somebody doing something that's wrong, to just walk up to them. You're not doing that right here. Don't do none of that. We're not talking about that. I'm not condoning that or even trying to make that seem as though that's right. But I want you to notice what this priest did. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest saw it, he rose up from the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. And he thrust both of them through. And the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. I want to tell you what happened. There was a man who said, wait a minute, I am not going to no longer allow that which is spiritual to mix with that which is carnal. I'm no longer gonna condone mixing that which is holy to that which is unholy. I'm no longer gonna stand by and allow that to take place. Oh, get me right here today. I'm not saying that each one of us are supposed to be walking around as judges and looking at each other and saying, well, that one must be doing that which is unholy, and I'm going to go correct them on that. No, here's what I say we do. Every single one of us better look in the mirror and have God peer into our heart. And we need to say, I, as the priest of my home, as the priest of my life, as a priest before God, am not no longer gonna allow that which is unholy to have any room in my life. I'm not gonna play around with that anymore. I'm not gonna mess there anymore. I'm not gonna condone that any longer. I got one person who's with me. He's learned one thing. I'm going to amen my dad. We haven't been able to figure out what he's going to be quite yet. He's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a musician. He's going to be a drummer. He's going to be a singer. He's got it all. That's what happens to the baby of the family. They get all the talent. That's what happened to my brother. Here I am. I can hardly do any of this. And he just... telling you, there needs to be a determination in someone's soul here right now that I myself am going to make sure that I'm not mixing that which is unholy to that which is holy. I'm going to make sure that I'm not going in before the presence of God in the wrong attitude, allowing attitudes to creep in, allowing thoughts to creep in, allowing things to run over me, to allow myself. Why? Because there's thousands and millions of people being lost for eternity every single day. How could you possibly allow that to go on? Every single day. Hundreds of people dying. There's family members passing on before us. There's people being bound by all sorts of things and all kinds of stuff. And here we are. I feel good. I go to church on Sunday and I'll do this and I'll do that. All the while there's a plague. All the while there's a plague. And it's loose. And there's a plague, and it's running up and down 59. And there's a plague, and it's running up and down 91. And there's a plague, and it's running from city to city to city. And people are lost, and people are dying. And we go about our business. If I can somehow get the attention of one person today who says, you know what? I'm not going to allow that any longer. I'm not going to allow that any longer. I'm not going to allow that any. It was here that God said, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake. There was a man who said, I'm going to be fervent. I'm going to be zealous. I'm not going to play games. I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to be serious. I'm going to get myself. And God says, I've sought. And because, someone wants to wonder, someone wants to know, how do I get the plague from off my family? How do I get the plague of sin from my kids? How do I get the plague of sins off my children, off my loved ones? I'll tell you how. Is there a priest among us who will say that I will be zealous for his sake? He says, because of him being zealous, I consumed him not. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it. And his kids shall have it. Even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. I believe the last time I read, the Bible says that we are a chosen generation, a royal who were once not a people, but now are the people of God. The scriptures tell us, now that's why I'm in the book here right now, even though I'm in the Old Testament. The scriptures tell us that we today are a royal priesthood. And he said, because he was zealous, he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting covenant. I'm sorry, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Why? Because he was zealous for his God. If I can get someone's attention and someone say, you know what? I've lived for God. I've served God. I've even loved God. But I don't want to just do those things. I want to be zealous for my God. I want to be fervent for my God. I want to not just serve him. I want to sell out for him. I don't just want to live for him. I want to live my life completely sold out to him. I want to give everything I've got for this thing that God wants. I don't need to bring the Super Bowl allegations in again, do I? People are sold out. $1,500, $1,700, $2,000 a ticket. You're either crazy or you're sold out. You've either lost your mind or you've become a fan. Or you are a fanatic. You have gone crazy, dare I say, for your God. Do I need to talk about how the God of that world leads people to immorality? And how they sacrifice their kids. Or maybe not in a literal, but a spiritual. I better get off that, huh? I think you know where I'm going. It was Jesus in Matthew 10 who made a very controversial statement when he said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Has anyone besides me ever been confused by that statement? You ever wondered about that statement? Here was Jesus, who I don't see anywhere he ever picked up a sword. He might have picked up a cat of nine tails a couple times. He might have flipped a few tables. I never saw him with a sword. And I never saw his apostles decide to use these swords except in one instance that I'm going to talk about in a second. But Jesus said, think not, I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father. And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy. Never mind. And he taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Jesus here makes this statement. I've come to bring a sword. You mean a sword? Jesus was not teaching anarchy. Jesus was not teaching his people to rebel with arms. Jesus was not telling us that we are to stockpile ammunition and become some kind of cult and one day try to fight off a government that is trying to kill us. No, that's not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying was that we needed to have zeal or fervency. In other words, he's saying you need to sell out, because when you're fervent and when you're zealous, there's those who won't understand it. You may have family members who say you're crazy. How could you? Why do you? How do you do that? And why are you willing to do that? And how could you do that? And I don't understand your thought process here. And I don't understand why you do that. And they become at odds with us. And they don't understand why I don't allow my kids to do certain things. And while I push my children into certain directions. And while I don't allow certain things. And they don't understand. Just as they didn't understand my dad, and just as they don't understand him today. Peter heard Jesus say, I came not to bring peace, but with a sword. And so here we find Jesus after his prayer at Gethsemane, after hours of praying that this cup pass from me, is now facing a group of soldiers and the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders of his day. And it's here that Peter does what Jesus said. And he takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear. And then Peter stands there while Jesus bends down, picks up that ear, puts it back on that man. And then Jesus looks at him and said unto him, put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Was Jesus contradicting himself? Or did Jesus say the sword for a reason? I'll tell you what he was talking about. He was saying that there's someone around here that needs to become zealous for my sake and become serious for my cause and to become purposeful for what they're doing for me. I'm sure at this moment Peter is confused. Here I thought I was doing what was right. I was even willing to die for you, Jesus. I pulled out my sword in front of all these people. I was ready to fight and I was ready to die for you. And here you look at me and tell me to put my sword away. And so what's Peter do? Peter broke the commandment of Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said right before the sword? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. And so the next time we find Peter, what's Peter doing? Wait a minute, you're one of them. I never knew him. Oh, wait a minute, your speech gives you away. Oh, I never knew him. You don't know what you're talking about. And he denies Jesus 3 times. It hit me. Do you know why? He was confused. I was told, pick up my sword. And then I was told to put it away. I don't know if the moment he heard the rooster crow that these words of Jesus came running back at him. I don't know if he hears the rooster crow and then all of a sudden he hears, but whosoever shall deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father. But it was after this moment and the death of Jesus that Peter, no doubt feeling as though all was lost, and never again would he be used like he was used before, and never again would he feel the anointing and the power of God in his life. Those keys that he was given must have been taken away. He looks at the rest of the disciples and says, I'm going fishing. This isn't what he was supposed to be. This isn't what he was called to do. This was just his way of coping with guilt and shame. I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I've denied him. I've messed up. This is the only way I know to cope. But I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't finished with Peter. No, instead, Jesus stood at the edge of the water and said something that the disciples had heard, very familiar. I've heard this before. Why don't you cast your net on the other side? Wait a minute, I've heard that before. And something very familiar took place. All of a sudden, the nets were full of fish. Now, I like this because it was John who first had an understanding of who this was. He turns to Peter and makes such a simple statement. It is the Lord. That's all he said. It is the Lord. Someone in this room just needs to hear, the Lord is here. Someone here just needs to understand that God is here. That's all you really need to hear right now. That's what you really need to know right now, that the Lord is really here for you. I don't know what ran through Peter's mind, but I do know what returned to Peter. There was something that he had the moment he pulled that sword out. There was something that was lost the moment he became confused and bewildered. He at one time was zealous for the things of God. He was at one time sold out for God. He at one time laid aside everything for the cause of Christ. And when he was told to put away his sword, the zealous, the zeal, the fervor all fell away. But the moment, somebody hear me, the moment he heard, it is the Lord, all of a sudden rising up from his feet, something began to come over this man, and a zeal filled his soul. And while the others wait for the boat to get in, Peter runs and jumps over the side of the boat and, splashing into the water, begins to swim and make his way to Jesus. All of a sudden, the zeal came back.
Hallelujah, Jesus
has come back for me. Jesus has showed up back for me. Jesus is still here for me. Somebody hear that today. I feel that so strongly inside of me that Jesus is here for you. I'm not going to wait around. I'm not going to wait for everybody else. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to get this. I'm jumping in. I'm not waiting to measure out the cost. I'm not waiting to try to calculate it out. I'm not waiting to see if I can figure out how I can do this and how I can do that and how I can do this and how I can do that and how I can do this and how I can live this way and still live this way and how I can do this and still do this. Instead, he says, I'm jumping in. Can I tell you right now, it was here that Peter crossed a line to never return again. It was here that the life of Peter was never the same. It was here that the power of God established in him and Jesus gave him one command. Feed my sheep.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
There's a line there. If I cross it, I can't return back to what I was. If I cross it, I'm reaching the point of no return. If I cross it, things will never be the same in my life. I won't be able to think the same. I won't be able to act the same. I won't be able to do the same. I won't be able to be the same once I cross this line. And here it is where most Christianity lives today. And I'm not trying to single anyone else out but me. This thing tried to trip me earlier, so I'll use it. There's the line. And we come up to it. And we think about it, and we ponder it. We may even, as the children of Israel, send spies over into it. And we may look at it, and we may peer across. And from time to time, we may stitch a toe over, and we may maybe put a foot over, but there's still something that's still back on this side. And we stand there and we straddle it. And there's a line that Jesus is saying that I'm trying to call you there. I'm trying to get you there. But you must understand that if you cross that line, it will never be the same for you. And we feel the pressure. And we get close to it. And we feel the pressure. And we get close. And we feel the pressure. And we back off. And we get up to it again. Oh, will they ever cross it? Will I ever make it across there? I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. I don't know, because there's still some things over here that I'm worried about. There's still some things that trouble me. How will I do? Oh, I'm preaching to my, how will I take care of my family? How will I be able to do this? And how will I be able to enjoy that? And how will I ever be able to do this? And will I ever be able to make it here? And will this ever happen? And so you get up to the line and you start to step and you pull back, and you get to it and you stop again. And so often that's where we live. So often that's what we do. So often that's where it's at. And we say, but I don't want to get radical. Then don't expect radical results.
That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I mean, let me say that again. I know that hurts. But I don't want to get radical. Then don't expect radical results. I don't want to cross that line. Then don't be upset when the power isn't there. I don't want to give it all that I have. Then don't be discouraged because you're not full. And if I can say this, don't speak against others who are willing to do it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Can I get real here for a minute? Or just real, real? Sometimes I get a little bit ticked off at my dad. I mean, he travels all over the world. He's gone month after month, going here, going there, preaching here, preaching there, and hope he's not listening to this. And it ticks me off, and he sometimes asks me to go, and I turn him down, and I tick him off. And I think in myself, you've got boy, you've got grandkids that you should be spending more time with. I mean, you're away from your wife for a month at a time. Oh, and he goes with people. He's not going by himself and running all over the world all by himself taking these trips. He's not taking my mom simply because she don't want to go. She goes with him when she wants and stays home when she doesn't. And when she doesn't, he takes somebody along with him. He goes with teams of people. And I wonder sometimes, how could you do that? I mean, don't you want to see your grandkids? I mean, they're only going to be so big that long. And I mean, you miss baseball games, and you miss all the fun things they're doing. You're missing their birthday parties, and you're missing all these things. Matter of fact, you're even gone on Valentine's Day. You don't even get to see your wife. See, and to the average person, they can look down upon him, and I even myself sometimes question. But what I don't understand is he's understood the passage when Jesus said, take up your sword. He's went across the line, and he's went over into a place that I don't understand. He's went over into the place that doesn't make sense in my mind. He's gone over into a place that really sometimes I don't fully grasp, and it puts us at odds. Jesus said, I will put variance between you and your father, and between you and your mother, and between family members. Why? Because they won't understand why you've sold out. They won't understand why you've crossed that line, and they won't understand. You boys, listen to me. Your pappy loves you so much, and the reason he does what he's doing is because he's sold out for God. And you yourselves, if you ever want to be what God wants you to be, you will have to sell out yourselves. You don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Oh no, it doesn't. Something hit me while I was putting this together.
Praise God.
I don't know how long I am. If I'm being long, I apologize. Not really. Just put it on a second CD if you have to. Something hit me while I was putting this together. I've probably read this passage hundreds of times, probably quoted it hundreds of times. I've heard it probably thousands more times. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, and we'll get to preaching. Oh, I can make that happen. Oh, why don't you taste? Oh, I can make it happen. I could get you all excited just telling you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. You'll probably never be able to hear this passage again after I'm done.
Praise God.
And all of a sudden, it hit me. I've tasted hundreds of times. Even thousands of times in my life. And it hit me. Yes, there is a point and a time that we are to taste and see, or taste and understand, or taste and perceive that the Lord is good. But how many times do I have to sample this before I decide to buy it?
That's right. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God.
We keep tasting and tasting. Oh, my boys like Sam's Club. Anyone like Sam's Club? You go there on a Saturday morning. And you taste a little bit there. And you taste a little bit there. And if you really like something, you may circle back around a little bit and see if it's maybe a different person running the booth and taste it again. Or, you know, maybe pull your hat down a little lower so maybe they don't recognize you and you grab it again. Come on, act like you ain't ever done it. Or you make sure, in my case, yeah, give one to all four of my boys and my wife. And they really don't want it. I just want it. And so I taste it four times. I'm real. I'm right where you're living. I'm preaching somebody's right now. I'm reading your mail.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And I taste. And I taste.
Hallelujah.
And here it is. We taste. And we taste. And we come back the next week. And we taste again, and we come back the next month, and we taste again, and we come back again, and a little while later we taste again, and we have a good prayer meeting, and we taste again. And we go to a good church service, and we sample a little bit more. But at what point do we commit? And at what point do we say, okay, I'm willing to buy the field?
Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
I've tasted enough.
Amen. Praise God.
I know he's good.
Amen.
I understand that he's good. I already know, can somebody preach with me, that the Lord, he is good. I already know that his mercy is everlasting. I already know that I serve a good God, a great God, a holy God, a wonderful God. I serve the Almighty God. I've tasted and I've saw that the Lord is good. I've tasted this a thousand times, but I stand here before you right now and say, I want more than a taste. I want more than just a sampling. I'm not just wanting to tap my toe on the other side or just get up close to it. I'm not wanting just... I want it all.
Amen. Amen.
Is there anyone in this room tonight? And let's all stand. Is there anyone in this room who says, I want more than a taste? I want more than just a sampling. I've visited God's club enough times. I've already run around to all the booths. I've already tried it here, and I've tried it there, and I've tried it here, and I've tried it there, and I've tasted a little bit here, and I've tasted a little bit there, and I've recognized his hand of provision, and I've recognized his hand of healing, and I've saw his hand of deliverance, and I've saw his hand of miracles, and I've saw a little bit here, and a little bit there, and just a little bit there, and just a little bit there. And I get excited here. It's because I've just touched a toe.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I praise you.
Is there anyone in this room tonight who says, I want more than just a taste? I want more than just a taste. I want more than just a little bit. I'm ready to cross the line of no return. I'm ready to cross that line of no return, where things will never be the same for me again. I will be different. I will be changed. I will be committed.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know what I want to raise up? You know what I want to raise up? Elders, listen to me right here. You can help me here. I'm on your side, Brother Williams. See that? We're on the same side. We're both on this side of the line. Now you can help us. Encourage them. Cross that line. Go ahead. It's okay to cross that line. Go ahead. Oh, that may sound radical. That may sound crazy. That may even sound downright absurd. Oh, I'm not saying going against the doctrines. I'm not saying going against the Bible. But it may not make sense. But there's a young person. There's a child.
Amen.
Who's standing here at the edge. Do I go or don't I go? Because if I go across, my friends may think I'm nuts. If I go across, I may lose friends. If I go across, I may lose some things that I thought were important. And you know what they need? They need somebody beside them saying, it'll be okay. You can go there. You can go ahead and get there.
Praise God. Praise God.
You can go ahead and cross that line.
Amen.
It's okay. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. I've never seen those who were willing to cross that line ever be forsaken of God. But you know what I've seen plenty of times? Those who were willing to do it, those who were willing to cross that line, I've seen Jesus extend a hand towards them. I've seen Jesus reach down and pick them up. I've seen Jesus do miraculous things in their life. I've seen Jesus multiply things.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Is there someone in this place here this morning or this evening? Sorry, I didn't preach this morning. I tried to. Who would say, you know what? Tonight, I'm crossing the line.
Amen. Amen.
There's no looking back for me. When I get past there, I won't be the same anymore.
Amen. Praise
God. I won't be what I used to be.
Amen.
I won't be the same.
Hallelujah.
Something will change forever. Don't worry, Sister Rhonda. I'm not saying you're on this side of the line, all right? I'm with you over here, too. Is there someone saying, I'm willing to go?
Amen. Amen.
Is there someone willing to say, I'm willing to sell out?
Amen.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
Amen, Lord.
I'm willing to make painful sacrifices. I'm willing to make choices, even though it may seem to sacrifice things which are dear to me. And it may seem to put me at odds with certain individuals. And it may seem to not be kosher with everybody around me. Is there someone saying, I'm willing to join you, Pastor?
Praise God. Praise God.
I'm willing
Hallelujah.
To cross that line.
Amen. Amen.
Can I tell you this? My goodness. God better stop talking to me. We may never get out. I'm kidding. I don't ever want God to stop talking to me. The fuse is lit on this side. The explosion takes place on this side.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I praise you, Jesus.
I said the fuse is lit.
Amen. Amen.
But the fuse is lit on this side. The scepter of Judah was on this side. Hear me. Praise will start us here. But when Jesus comes, we'll end up over here. So often we start and we get here. And we wonder why.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Is there someone?
Amen.
Who says, Pastor, I'm willing to join you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pastor, I'm willing to join you. I'm willing to make radical changes. I'm willing to make radical decisions. You know, when we got home, we were driving home from our all-night prayer meeting. I know I keep talking about Joey, but I love my boys. I can't help it. And they make so many good preaching material. It's no wonder. One of these days, they're going to be some dynamic preachers. They've helped me preach many sermons, both good and bad. We're driving home, and he goes, Dad, why don't we have more all-night prayer meetings more often? Why don't we have prayer all-night prayer meetings more often? I'll have you know, there were three young people that stayed up all night. Joey, Jared, and Masao stayed up all night long. They weren't back there playing either.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
They were right here in the midst. I watched Miss Sal. She didn't think I saw her.
Jesus.
I saw her. I had everybody walking over the pews, anointing the pews, praying for pews. I saw Miss Sal praying, touching the pews.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Go ahead. Cross the line.
Praise God. Praise God.
Is there someone?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Says, I'm going to do it. You can sit there right now and you can calculate all the different reasons and all the different things you have to do and give up. And you can wait for the boat to come in. Or you can be like Peter. Say, I ain't waiting for all you. I'm crossing now. I'm not waiting for the altar call. I'm crossing now.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And the next thing you hear Peter saying is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Ghost. And it's not just for you. It's for you. And for your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What happened? Peter crossed the line, and he received an authority that went beyond him. It went to children, and children's children, and to all those. Anyone want to cross it? Anyone want to cross it? Anyone want to cross it? Anyone want to join? Jesus, I don't know if I can. I've messed up too many times. I've fell back too many times. I've made too many mistakes. Let me preach to you right now. So did Peter. Peter wasn't perfect. Peter made mistakes. Peter messed up. Peter did some bad things. But when he knew the Lord was there, he said, wait a minute. That zeal that was one time held hostage, that was one time held in captivity, it is now loosed. What you need right now is a return of your zeal. What you need right now is a return of your zeal. What you need right now is a return. Don't wait for me. Go ahead. Somebody start getting it right now. Somebody start getting it right now. Somebody start seeking God right now. Somebody start interceding right now. Somebody start praying right now. Somebody start seeking Him right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.